Hi, my name is Krishanti, and this workshop is all about how to meet and work with your spirit guides. Now, first things first, I want you to know a little something about me. I'm not a psychic. I'm someone who learned how to be psychic. And there is a difference. I think the major difference in this workshop is I wasn't born seeing spirits. I didn't always have this innate belief that we have an internal guidance system, or that we have spirit guides, or that we're always being watched over and helped by unseen forces. I spent the majority of the first part of my life just not believing in any of that. And I had no idea that you could learn how to be psychic until I had an amazing reading that my friend bought for me at the Psychic Horizon Center in Boulder, Colorado. And it was with these two students of this clairvoyant method. And that reading changed my life. I wasn't allowed to ask any questions. I just sat in front of them. They saw my soul. They brought my spirit forward. I don't know what happened. At the time, I didn't know what was happening. I do now. What they did was they brought my spirit forward, and they created a shift that I was dying to have happen and didn't even know it. And they set me on this pathway, the psychic pathway. In fact, the next day after I had this reading, I went to the library with my friend, and the book, The Psychic Pathway by Sonia Choquette, literally jumped off the shelf at me. I started reading that, and that just changed everything. So Sonia Choquette, who wrote The Psychic Pathway, introduced to me the concept of spirit guides. And I remember thinking, what are those? Or what is that? And what is she talking about? And I don't want to connect with the spirit world because that sounds kind of weird. But, you know, I gradually became more comfortable with it and decided to pursue it. And so in this workshop, I'm going to help you with three specific ways to connect with your spirit guides, ways that I've tested and tried out for myself that have been effective and that have been effective for other students and clients that I've worked with. The first way is going to be through signs, looking for signs and recognizing them. The second is through your clairvoyance, which is clear seeing, using your third eye, your sixth chakra of psychic awareness to connect with your guides. And the third way is through your clairaudience, which is clear hearing, which is where you actually kind of hear them talking to you. And I'll get into that because there are different subtle nuances to clairaudience, but it really is really wonderful. Then I'll lead you through two guided meditations to help you connect with your spirit guides. Meditation is one of the best ways to do it. I highly recommend it. So let's just get started and let's start talking about how to connect with your guides through signs. But even before that, I had to backtrack a little bit. When you decide that you want to open up to connect to, and to work with your spirit guides, you want to set the intention that you are going to work at the highest level of energy possible. We're talking only spirit guides, ascended masters, high-level beings. When you set that intention, it's very clear. It's like you broadcast it across the spectrum and you draw that kind of energy to you. And I don't want you to get scared or overthink it or anything like that. But sometimes, you know, you might get some riffraff or psychic energies that aren't spirit guides, or even your ego pretending to be a guide and talk to you. All you have to do is set the intention. It's only light, only enlightened beings, the highest level energies, and that'll be that. When you do decide to open up to what you could consider the astral planes or other dimensions or other fields of awareness, if you don't set that intention, again, different things will come through, different energies, and you might be confused with what's true guidance and what's something else, or what's a disembodied spirit and all of that. So don't overthink it. Stay in the light and set the intention to only draw in the very highest level of guidance, and you will. And it's also really, really fun. So if you approach this from the wavelength of fun, of excitement, of What wonderful thing is going to happen next? What amazing guidance am I going to get? What can my spirit guides and I co-create? How can I help other people in the world? How can I shine my light? That's exactly what's going to happen. And it is nothing short of miraculous. So let's talk a little bit about signs. When I first started developing my psychic abilities and I was introduced to the idea of spirit guides, Sonia Choquette, whose books I just love and highly recommend. And by the way, she has a great book called Ask Your Guides that you might want to check out if you haven't already. She recommends that you just start asking your guides for signs. And that's what I did. And I would just every day say, give me a sign. If you're real, which is like that a lot of my requests start with, if you're really real, show me. And I would start to get a little tickle across my cheek. It felt like a hair was touching my cheek. And I would always check to see if my hair was pulled back or, you know, and it usually was. And now and then maybe I would catch a stray hair and think, okay, well, that wasn't a guide. But it became this sort of telltale tickle that would come on the heels of my asking. And that was just proof to me, okay, I'm asking and here's a tickle. That's a sign. I don't feel that that really helped me. Except now, many years later, when I get a tickle or a touch, I can really with confidence say, that's my guide. And I know that something's going to happen or some kind of guidance is coming through. And it's very reassuring. So one sign you might want to look out for is a physical sensation, a tickle, a touch, a buzzing in your ear. Little things like that. Those are signs that your guides are near and that they are trying to communicate with you. The next kind of sign is a concrete physical sign. Now, some people choose different things or gravitate towards different things. I have a client who is really into numbers, and once she started paying attention to these sequences of numbers, she would see them everywhere. And so then she looked up the numerological meaning of the numbers and got clarity that way. So you can look at sequences of numbers. I'm sure you've heard before about, you know, seeing 1111 on the clock all the time or 444 or 333, and that's a sign. So that's one way that they'll come through to you. And again, the meaning of that is honestly going to be personal. You can look up the numerological significance of the number. Or you can just have this feeling like 1111, that means everything's okay, or that's really good. I really like 1111 personally, and I know a lot of people do. It feels like good luck. Another way to connect, or another way you can see signs, is through wildlife. I actually, over the years, have come to realize that I have guides that connect with me through hummingbirds. I remember a few years ago when I was just drop dead exhausted because we had a newborn baby, and I was walking through the neighborhood with him on the stroller and I hadn't slept. I was just so tired, and I asked my guides for a sign and to give me a good day, like just to help me have a really good day. And I saw a hummingbird, and I now see hummingbirds all the time. I mean, even before that, I saw hummingbirds. And what I realized too is they will actually land on a tree right in front of me and sit still and look at me. That's how easy that sign comes through for me. Once I was with a psychic friend and we were just daydreaming and talking and having fun and playing. And I said, we were talking about guides. And I said, I would love presents. Like, why don't we get treasures like rubies and emeralds and diamonds? And we laughed and it just captured our fancy. And it was really funny. And the next thing you know, a hummingbird landed on the tree right in front of us, and it had a ruby red chest. And we just thought that was so cute and so beautiful and funny, and what a great sign. A lot of my students and clients do see hummingbirds and love hummingbirds. You can also, I mean, whatever animal is around you, whatever animal you connect to, you can actually, you know, see insects like butterflies. If you're in nature, maybe deer, or even cats, rabbits, whatever you really want to see actually is what they'll give you. Because, you know, if you hate snakes, your spirit guides aren't going to throw snakes at you all the time as a sign. I mean, that's just not the way it works. It's what captures your fancy. And they want to befriend you and to make you comfortable. So you'll get signs that really resonate with you. And if it's not an actual animal, it will be a totem or a representation of an animal. Like, you know, maybe your thing is chimpanzees, and everywhere you look, you see pictures of chimpanzees, and you can say, well, that's my guide. Like, those are my guides giving me a sign that they're here, that they're nearby. You can also ask them to show you signs pertaining to certain situations or things. And this is kind of a silly example, but it was one that really affected me profoundly back in the early days of my psychic development journey. I remember Sonia saying, you can ask them for presents, which I really love presents. And it happened to be my birthday one day. It was a Monday, and I worked in this office building, a really beautiful high rise. And I walked in on a Monday on my birthday, which kind of sucks, right? I mean, you usually like your birthday to be a Friday or Saturday or Sunday, but when it's Monday on a work day, that's kind of blue. But I walked in, and the ceilings in the lobby were really, really high. And there was this really tall ladder, and the maintenance guys were climbing up. And at the top, I mean, at the ceiling was a huge helium balloon, a Winnie the Pooh balloon. And I normally would just not say anything or just, you know, go in the elevators and go up to my office. But I stopped and I said, well, what's up with that? And they said, oh, some kid left it in the lobby on Friday. It's been here all weekend. And I said, oh, it's my birthday. Can I have it? And they're like, well, of course, absolutely. Here you go. And they gave me that balloon, which was gigantic. Winnie the Pooh, which I loved when I was little. And not only that, when you tapped it, it sang the happy birthday song. And at the end, he says, happy birthday, friend. And I just got the biggest kick out of it. I've never in my life had a singing balloon for my birthday. And it was just so funny. And what a great sign. Because I'd asked, you know, for presents for my birthday to make it a good day and a sign. And they came through. So that was really, really awesome. You can ask them for presents and signs like that. And they will bring you what you're asking for. Let me look at other signs. Oh, one of the biggest ones that's my favorite is through the radio. I jokingly call it radio divination, but they'll come through. I can give you a couple of personal examples. One time, my husband and I got in an argument. This is kind of embarrassing, but we got in an argument on the way to one of my closest friend's wedding. And so we were on the way to her wedding, and it was silly, but it was a kind of a bad argument, and there was tension in the car, and it was awful. So he turned on the radio to the comedy channel. And it was so funny, wouldn't you know? A comedian came on and was talking about when you're going to a party with your significant other and you're fighting and everything, and then you get out of the car and you're like, oh, hi, everybody. Like, everything's okay. And we just bursted out laughing because it was exactly what was happening to us. And I know that was my guides, because we didn't want to go to that wedding with like a, you know, bad attitudes and anger with each other. So we made up and everything was fine and we laughed about it. And I know not only was that a sign, it was like a beautiful divine intervention. Another time I was driving to work at a healing center where I worked, and there was some bad energy there going on, and I was not feeling too great about it. And I was praying for a sign from my guides for help to figure out how to deal with this and how to make it through the day with a lot of readings and a lot of kind of dark energy all around that was hard to clear. So I pulled up, I was listening to the radio, I was driving. As I was pulling up into the parking lot, the song came on. I forgot who sings it, but it's called Blinded by the Light. And it just captured my attention. I was just listening to it, you know, Blinded by the Light. And I realized that was a sign from the guides to really just bring on the light, like blinding light to help get through it. And that was incredible. A lot of friends, family, clients, students hear signs through the radio. It's really easy, I think, because A, songs deliver such clear and concise messages, and B, radio waves I think are probably really easy to get through and manipulate. I'm not clear on the science behind that, but that's just my layman's notion of how guides can just get in there and scramble the frequencies and give you a song that's going to mean something when you're asking for help and asking for a sign. Those are just a few of the most powerful ways that I've seen spirit guides come through with signs. Of course, I guess I have to put this into the sign category is the whole asking for a parking space thing, which I'm sure you've heard about too. You just ask your guides for parking spots, which is so mundane, but also very helpful in a stressful world. And parking in LA is getting to be really, really difficult. So I always ask my guides to hook me up with parking. And you know what? They always deliver. It's crazy. I mean, I'm laughing because I'm remembering a time I went to the Grove, which is this big mall, and it was not the right time to go. I tend now with a toddler, I go, you know, first thing in the morning or at times when it's really going to be slow and quiet, so it's easy. But this was just an off time. I happened to be there and I forgot to ask, and I was driving and thinking, oh, why am I even here? And then I remembered, oh, spirit guides. And again, I still kind of tend to preface the whole, if you're real, show me and give me a parking spot. But I did that and I asked really earnestly, remember, with the belief that they were going to come through. And sure enough, somebody walked to their car and moved, and I got this prime spot right there where I wanted to park. So they will help with that. And any other signs that you can think of that work for you, use your imagination. And they'll come through. They'll just deliver. So a lot of this whole spirit guided world originates with your imagination, because technically speaking, I mean, you are going to be imagining this, but that's the way they get in, and then they can start to work with you through your imagination. So you want to pretend that you're connecting to your imaginary friends, and then pretty soon you won't be pretending anymore. They're actually going to be there front and center. So the next way that you can connect with your spirit guides is through clairvoyance, which is in your mind's eye, in your imagination. And the way clairvoyance works is this. It's like when you read a book, like a fantasy book or a really great story, you have a picture in your mind's eye about what's going on, right? Like you can kind of see how it's playing out. You imagine what the characters look like, what the scenes look like. That's clairvoyance. So it's not some mystical thing that only some people have. I mean, if you can dream up a scene in your mind's eye, you're using your clairvoyance. And when it comes to spirit guides, you might think you're making it up, and a lot of people do. But there's something to it. You wouldn't be making it up if it wasn't somehow founded in the reality that the spirit guides are coming from. One of the easiest ways to first connect with guides through your clairvoyance is just to let a color appear. Any color. In fact, I have a guide that I know works with me on a daily basis in all of my sessions and with my own personal development and growth, who I call the blue guy, because he's blue and that's all I know. And that's all I need to know. I know he's there. I feel him. I know it's a he, and I know he's blue. Now, as a side note, it took me a long time to get to that level. And it also took a couple of readings with different people to realize that he was really, really there. I have a friend I play psychic games with, and that's something you can do too, to activate your intuition, to play like an imaginary friend game, like who do you have with you and who do you have with you, and just start channeling that information. And she saw the blue guy. And then I've had several readings with other intuitives, and they've seen the blue guy as well. So that's what he is, blue. Clairvoyance really works best when you're in a state of deep, deep, deep relaxation that you can get to through meditation. And, you know, guided meditations are just as great as sitting still in a chair and thinking about nothing for 30 minutes, which I personally find next to impossible. So you can just follow guided meditations like the two that we'll be doing in a little while and just let your guides come through. And Don't worry about making it up or persuading or anything like that. There'll be a reason for what you're seeing. I remember I did a workshop a few years ago with a bunch of people, a spirit guides workshop. And one guy raised his hand after the meditation and said, you know, I just didn't see anything. And I thought, like, nothing at all? Because I'm going to walk you through it. It's a pretty, you know, there's a lot of visual imagery. So you could probably conjure up the ideas in your mind's eye and see what I'm talking about. And he said, no, I didn't see anything. The only thing I saw was this wolf. And everyone kind of gasped, and I gasped because we were all excited. Like, wait, you're saying you saw nothing. And then you see this wolf, which is totally a sign. It's totally a spirit guide. That's really cool. So that was something. And you just go with it. For a long time, I remember thinking, well, if I'm not going to see a guide, I'm just going to create something that I love. And I grew up reading the Chronicles of Narnia. In fact, they're very probably just ingrained in my memory now. And I feel like those characters are my family. But Aslan is the kind of, I guess he's like the Christ being. He's a lion and he's beautiful. And he's just, if you've read Narnia, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, Aslan is just amazing. And so I remember at certain periods of my life, if I feel like I'm not connecting with a guide, but I need one, and like, I just call in the power of Aslan, and it helps. It really helps. And I feel that comfort, and I see that great, beautiful golden lion, and my heart is at ease. If you feel like you want to intend to connect with certain spiritual avatars, it's not like some VIP club and only certain people are allowed access. You will connect with them. I've connected with a student with the Christ energy, which was beautiful and very humble, not surprisingly. Just the other day, with a client, for him, I connected to Kuan Yin, also known as Avalokiteshvara, who's a beautiful, divine, gracious, gracious female deity. And it was as if she was just there and in my mind's eye, talking to me, and then I was talking to him. So I don't know if I really, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I visually really saw her. I got a sense of a gorgeous female spirit. Recently too, I was doing a healing for someone, and in my mind's eye, these two light beings came in. They were made of stars. That's what it looked like. They were very, very tall, transparent, like translucent, like clear, just with stars. And so I was doing a healing on him, and they connected in and they balanced his meridians. And again, you might think that I'm nuts and I'm making this up, and it does, you know, if I step back and I turn on my analytical mind, yeah, it sounds kind of wacky, but you know what? That guy felt amazing. And there is something to it. At time and time again, the spirit guides will step forward when clients are open and willing to connect. They're always there. You never don't see a guide. I always see at the very least three. And I've been taught by spiritual teachers that there's no limit to the number of guides you can have at any given time in your life. So it's all about the state of mind that you're in. And that's how you connect with them clairvoyantly. And as far as what kind of guidance they can give you through your clairvoyance, you just sit back and imagine that you're watching a movie. And let the scenes unfold and let them show you pictures, let them show you colors, let them send you emotions or feelings. They let them give you warning signs, and they will. It's really fun. It does take a lot more time to work on because you have to carve out that time to sit down and to activate your clairvoyance. So you need to be able to do like 30 minutes to an hour regularly. But the more you work with clairvoyance and visualization, the easier and easier it gets. And remember, it's going to primarily be in your mind's eye, although there are some lucky people that see them plain as day. I still have to close my eyes and get into that space. So that's in a nutshell how you can connect with your guides through clairvoyance. And the other way that is really super fun is clairaudience. And I wanted to be clairaudient from the get-go when I first heard about it, because you just get these amazing messages and it's easy peasy. but I'm really more visual. So my clairvoyance was awesome and amazing and like just so easy to connect to. And I had to work really, really, really hard to develop the clairaudience. Some people are more naturally clairaudient. And you'll know, I think you'll just have a sense, like you just hear messages, you hear guidance, you're not so visual. Versus if you're clairvoyant, you're really super visual and maybe it's harder to hear things. Now, there's this thing about clairaudience, and this is partly probably why it took me a while to get into the mode of developing it. I don't want to hear a voice plain as day in my room. Like, that would just scare me to death to like sit there and then just hear like, Krishanti, or, you know, something like that, because that makes me think of people who have might have mental problems or their minds playing tricks on them. And I just don't want to go there. That's a little too, like, I can't control that. It scares me. Although it's been known to happen. Some people do hear them talking plain as day, which has got to drive you nuts, don't you think? I mean, can you imagine how hard it must be to hear all these voices all the time? I don't like that. I'm not cool with that. So, but you might be. Maybe you really want to hear them really loudly and you'll know. So that's up to you and that's your comfort zone. It's all about personal preference. You can work to the level of where you hear them. And I will, you know how it starts? Is you'll hear them just say your name. And I have students who have said that, like a few students I just remember recently saying they'll hear someone say like Tiffany or, you know, Krishanti. And that's your guide coming through. The thing about that is, well, like, okay, so they're saying your name. Now what? You know, how is that going to help you? Except that you know that they're trying to come through the audio waves and talk to you through your hearing and through your ears. One thing that a story that I love, 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 though, is I had this former student who had been in Iraq and he was driving a tank through the desert. And he heard really loud, like really loud, wake up. And he was startled and he came to, and guess what? He was nodding off. So if they need to, your guides will talk to you and they'll make you wake up and you'll hear it. You know, I wasn't expecting to talk about this, but it just popped into my head. Sometimes they'll talk to you through other people. And that'll be a clairaudience / a sign / you know, a message from your guide. And I remember once a guy came up to me and I wasn't really insulted. Now I think about it, I mean, because it made sense. But I was wearing an outfit that I liked at the time. It was a brown skirt and a brown top and brown shoes. And it was all brown. And he said, you're all brown, like you're wearing all brown. Like, he wasn't trying to be mean or anything, but I thought it must have been a guide, because when I think about it, maybe they were trying to get me to wear more bright colors and bring my spirit more to life. It makes me laugh, though, that message, and that someone had the chutzpah to say that to me. But they might tell you things. I know I've heard countless stories about people delivering messages from the divine, and they are so beautiful. They just can be heartbreakingly beautiful and true spirit, like true delight and joy and guidance. The guides will use other people to talk to you and to get through to you. You know, I've been working so hard on just asking to be happy and have a really nice day, because that's all I want, just to be happy. And who doesn't want that, right? Really, we all want to be happy. And the other day we were at Bristol Farms, a really nice grocery store, my friend and I, and Ivan, my son, who's 2 3/4 right now. And we were looking at the sweet treats in the bakery section. And the lady said, oh, she just thought Ivan was so cute. She said, you're such a cutie, so sweet. I want to give you a cookie. And she gave him a beautiful chocolate chip cookie just because. And I thought that was such a sweet gift from the universe. And it made my heart just feel so, I don't know, it just really touched me. And if you look for things like that, for joyful, beautiful interactions with lovely people, and trust that it's your guides working for you too, you'll see more and more of that start to happen. It's really miraculous and wonderful. But back to to specifically developing your clairaudience. If you're not cool with hearing loud voices all around you that you don't know where they're coming from and all that stuff, the next way that they'll come through with clairaudience is through your mind, like a thought that's your own, but it's not your own. And that's complicated because you want to be able to decipher that from your own voice. So at the beginning, when you're doing that, it'll kind of probably sound like a smarter you talking to you. And that's the best way I know how to describe it. It's like a higher, more wiser, more intelligent, more spiritual, divine version of you talking through your head. Now, over the years and with all of my practice, I began to realize that spirit guides' guidance will whoosh through my brain on the right side. It'll be like a thought that pops into the right side of my brain. And that thought and those messages are really short and sweet. They're not going to dictate a 10,000 word volume to you. They'll give you short, sweet, concise messages. The very first one that I heard, I was tickled pink about because I was practicing doing readings and I'm practicing the clairaudient aspect of it. And I saw an image clairvoyantly of my friend's hands glowing with golden light. And I'm looking at it and like, I don't know what it means. And then whoosh through the right side of my brain, tell her she's a healer. And so I told her she's a healer. And we just thought that made the most perfect sense. And she is a healer. It was beautiful. Other ways or other things that I've heard. Once I was doing a reading for an actress and it was going really well. It was great. And one of her guides came through, an older grandmotherly type of woman. And I asked her for some final words of guidance. And she said, get some new clothes. Not meanly. I say that kind of meanly, but she's like really matter of fact, get some new clothes. And so I delivered that message and she laughed out loud because, you know, she had realized she'd been wearing a lot of sweats and wasn't too happy with the image she was projecting, which is, of course, important if you're in the acting profession. And so that message was right on and made sense to her. It'll be like basically like a thought, and you got to just practice deciphering that thought from your own thoughts. And just test it out. Try it. That's what you have to do. You're going to see, like, just focus. One thing that my teacher, Deborah Katz, taught me, she's the one that trained me how to be clairvoyant and use my clairvoyance. And her first book is called You Are Psychic, The Art of Clairvoyant Reading and Healing. I highly recommend it. Deborah taught me to make my ears really big, to just imagine these huge, like, gigantic ears. And sometimes I'll put an elf point on them to capture my imagination and make it more fun. So really big elven ears with supersonic hearing. And then you can go in there and jimmy with like a little dial, or like imagine you're turning it up to 100% spirit guide hearing on either ear. Another thing you can do is imagine that you have a golden bottle brush. This is a technique that another healer told me about. And you're kind of clearing your ears out with this brush and then clearing out the channels which run sort of along your nasal passageways down through your cheekbones, up above your upper lip and through the other side. There are also channels like through the back of your neck. You can clear out, just imagine you're just brushing out and clearing out your sinuses with this golden brush, and you're opening up your clairaudient channels. And I guarantee you, the more diligent you are, the more focused you are, and the more attention you pay to working on your clairaudience, the more it will come through. I have a guide that helps me with things in the kitchen. And I remember once my friend was over and we were playing psychic games, which I did all the time back then. Basically, like I mentioned before, you just sit down with a friend and you just meditate, and then you can play cards or you can get into a really nice sort of meditative trance state and deliver messages. There are tons of ways to play psychic games, and you can do whatever strikes your fancy. but we were playing and I was boiling garbanzo beans to make hummus. And I thought I had put a lot of water in the pan. And we were playing and talking and I heard the guide say, check the chickpeas. And my left side of the brain was like, no, there's plenty of water. And we were having fun. I didn't want to get up and go check them. So I didn't. And a couple of minutes later, this burning smell wafted through the living room. And that guide was right. I needed to check the chickpeas. It's funny because it's like whatever you set your intention for that you want help with is what your guides will come through and help you with. So something like cooking so that you don't burn things in the kitchen, that's great. They'll help you with finding true love. They'll help you with your career. They'll help with relationships, with your spiritual path, with everything and anything you can think of. They will help you. So practice listening for messages, listening for guidance. In closing, one of the most profound things I think I've ever heard, although I've heard a lot of profound things, so that's a pretty hard thing to categorize. But I remember years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I was just meditating, relaxing, kind of daydreaming, and I heard, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be a healer. And so when we found out that Ivan was going to be a boy, we weren't that surprised. And we'll just see how his healing abilities unfold and what he decides to do with his life. You can be a healer in many different ways. So that's yet to be seen what he'll do with that. But that was really incredible. So listen to the thoughts and pay attention and notice what side of the brain they're coming through. And that's how you can develop your clairaudience. It's really fun. I mean, I keep saying it's really fun. Well, because it is. It's just funny how you can get this guidance just right there, right at your fingertips, right? Floating through your head when you need it. So now I think it would be a good time to get into the first of our guided meditations. And again, meditation is super important. It's really the key to calming your brain waves down. What you do is you get your brain into an alpha mode where your analytical mind and that chatter is turned down and your right brain, your imagination can start to activate. So this meditation starts with a hypnosis. So if you're driving or distracted, you might want to just think about settling down, sitting in a really comfortable chair or lying down. Just don't fall asleep. But it's okay if you do, you can just rewind this. So it's a hypnosis. And then I'm going to read a meditation from a book that I love, another book I recommend called Meet and Work with Spirit Guides by Ted Andrews. That's a fantastic resource. So why don't you just settle down comfortably and just take a few nice deep breaths. Don't stress out about making this be like have to be perfect and awesome the first time. Just be easy on yourself and just let this whole thing be fun and silly and simple and easy. So just allow yourself to settle down comfortably. And when you're comfortable, think about being supported and allow yourself to become aware of how the chair or the floor is touching your back. And then just allow your eyes to close. Now take a deep breath and hold it. And when you let it out, slowly, just let your body relax. Just relax completely. And now take another deep breath. And this time when you release it, just release all the tension in your body. Just allow yourself to relax completely. And when you are ready, take another deep breath And this time, really let go. Let go of any remaining tension. Allow your arms and legs and hands and head to go limp and loose and floppy, just like a rag doll. Or imagine an old coat thrown across a chair. And as relaxed as you are now, you may be surprised to learn that you can be even more relaxed, deeper and deeper relaxed, 10 times more relaxed, and even more. And now focus your attention on your eyes, on those tiny muscles that close your eyelids. And you can control those muscles. I wonder if you can imagine them so relaxed that they will just not work. And when you are sure that those eyes are so relaxed that they won't work, then allow that relaxation to spread to the muscles of your forehead. Feel those muscles spreading out and flattening. Feel some relaxation spread to your cheeks. Feel them relax and flatten. Then allow that relaxation to go down into your jaw. Allow your jaw and mouth and lips to relax. Allow your whole face to relax, to smooth out. That's right. Your jaw and mouth and head are all becoming so relaxed. You are doing very well. Now put your attention on your shoulders and allow that relaxation to spread to your neck and shoulders. Just pull your shoulders up a fraction if you can, and then relax them totally. Let them fall as far as they will go. Just imagine all those muscles going loose and limp. Imagine every nerve and fiber becoming loose and limp and heavy. Just feel that weight pulling your shoulders down until they are just lying there, completely relaxed and comfortable. Now imagine all the muscles of your chest relaxing. Imagine all those muscles that connect to your spine and tummy. Imagine how much they can relax. And let them relax now. And with each gentle breath, you can relax those muscles more and more. And your arms. Become aware of how relaxed your arms might become. And you can gently tense your upper arms a little and then let go. And that letting go allows you to relax that part even more. And then maybe you can tense your forearms a little and let that go. And notice how much more relaxation can flow into those arms. And then check if those hands need to relax. You can gently, softly tense your hands. Or even just imagine you can tense your hands and let go again. And your hands are totally relaxed. And you can forget all about your heavy hands and arms and just enjoy feeling wonderfully relaxed. And allow that relaxation to move down your back, all the way down your back. Allowing the large muscles of your back to soothe and relax. And I wonder if you can imagine your legs now. How the bones and muscles are all connected. And maybe you can imagine those big, strong muscles in your upper legs. And really feel where they are and how they work together. And those legs can feel really heavy. Your whole body can feel really heavy. And you can lightly tense the muscles at the front, maybe. And then at the back and the side. And then you can release and relax and feel those muscles go soft. And those legs can get so heavy. And you can move your attention to the muscles of your lower leg and gently, gently tense and release those muscles too. And every time you release, you might be able to sense the relaxation that's happening all through your body as each part learns to really let go now. And your feet, they can relax too. You might want to gently tense first one foot and then the other. And you might have difficulty deciding which foot to think about first. And it might all seem too much trouble. And as you do, you imagine those feet relaxing, all tension gone. And it might feel as if those feet have gone too. Relaxation can make it seem as though those feet are very far away, as if they are not really connected to you at all anymore. And you can lose touch with your legs, maybe, being so relaxed lets you focus inward. People can just drift away when they're relaxed. When nothing matters, the mind just drifts where it will, as if it has forgotten all about arms and legs, and just enjoy that feeling of drifting weightless. And I'm going to count down in colors now from 7 to 1. And as I count, imagine yourself going deeper and deeper and deeper into relaxation. Starting with a red 7, an orange 6, a yellow 5, a green 4, a sky blue 3, an indigo 2, and a violet 1. And now draw all of your energies around you. as if someone has placed an old, comfortable quilt about your shoulders. You are relaxed and at peace. There is a sense of anticipation, for you are about to be introduced to one of your spirit guides. Within the darkness of the mind, a scene begins to form. Faintly, you hear the sound of water, a soft, gentle stream that must be close by. There is the sound of birds, and you begin to feel the warmth of the sun upon you. You smell the gentle scent of spring flowers and new mown hay. A soft breeze caresses your face. You look about you and see that you are in a small circular garden. The color of the flowers stands out strong against the greens of the grasses and trees. Surrounding the garden are stately oaks, their branches extended as if protecting you. You breathe deeply of the sweet air. You are relaxed and at peace. You know this place. You have seen it before, maybe in your dreams or maybe in a distant lifetime. It doesn't matter. You just know that this is your haven. It is a place where you can go to heal and refresh yourself. It is a place of life and of peace. You see that you're sitting upon a stone. It seems to have been carved out as if to be a chair for you within this garden. It makes you feel solid and connected to the earth. As you look about, renewing your memories of this sanctuary, you see a path that leads down from a distant mountain to this garden. This path is lined with stones of every color and kind. At the opposite side of the garden, you see this path continue. It leads out from the garden down to a distant valley. As you look down this path, you see your present home within that distant valley. You understand that you are at a plateau, an intersection of time and place. It is an inner sanctuary where the real and the unreal meet. It is the place of the finite and the infinite, the physical and the spiritual. Knowing this is freeing. It relieves you of stress and worry. In this place, there is only to be. As you sit upon your stone chair, you see up the path toward the mountain a small golden light. It seems to draw closer and closer to you. It floats gently up the path toward your little sanctuary. Its light is soft and gentle, yet it shines with a brilliance you have never seen. As it reaches the outer edge of your sanctuary, it stops, a large, pulsating, crystalline light. You watch, waiting, but it doesn't move. It stays just outside your garden. This puzzles you at first. And then you remember, this is your garden. Nothing can enter without your permission. You find this thought to be very comforting. You slowly stand and take a step forward. You nod your head, acknowledging the light and giving it permission to enter. The light draws forward and hovers just before you. The light shimmers. Soft strands of gold stream forth from it. The light seems to unfold itself like a flower blossoming. As each petal of this light unfolds, you see that something or someone is inside. And then you see before you a wondrous being. See it. Imagine it. Know that it is real. As you look upon this being, pay attention to what you experience. Are there specific colors? Fragrances? Do you feel a touch or tingling on any part of your body? Is the being male or female? Even if the unfolding only reveals a symbol, that symbol can reflect a male or female energy. Trust your impressions. And I'll give you a few moments of silence to work on this. Begin to carry on a conversation in your mind with this being. Ask it its name. What is its purpose? Why is it around you? How can you come to recognize it more consciously in the future? Don't force the answers, just let them come naturally. Let this being communicate about itself to you. Tell you why it is working with you and what it will help you accomplish in the future. Ask your guide how best to call upon it in the future. And don't worry that you might be imagining it all and that it may all be a product of the mind and not a reality. You would not be able to imagine it if there wasn't something real about it. And again, I'll give you a few moments of silence. And now bring the conversation to a close. Ask your guide for something that you can use to verify its reality. Is there something coming up in your life that you need to be aware of? Is there something important that you need to know? Ask it for a touch, a tingle, or some kind of physical sensation over the next couple of days. Now thank your guide for the opportunity to meet and work with it. As the golden light folds back up around your guide, send it off with your best thoughts and love. As it withdraws from your garden, moving back down the path, you sit back down upon your rock. You understand that in this inner sanctuary, you can invite all of your guides into your awareness. This is exciting, and you're excited about the opportunity of expanding your horizons. You breathe deeply, relaxing and reliving the conversation in your mind. And as you do, the garden begins to fade. You find yourself sitting in your home, comfortable and peaceful, remembering all that you've experienced. Slowly and gently open your eyes, aware for perhaps the first time that there is life and energy on all dimensions around you. And if you have a pen and paper handy, it might be nice to just take a couple of notes of the impressions that you received, whether it was a color, a feeling, or an actual full-on image of your guide and conversation. When you record these things, you open your experience up. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. It's sort of like you open your consciousness and you create space for new levels of awareness to come through. So the more you record what actually happens and what you sense, the more validation that you're giving it and the more opportunity you're giving it to unfold and grow in the future. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to jot down your impressions. And I want to keep you in this nice meditative state. So let's just go into our second guided meditation. You can set an intention for more information, or you can just be open to whatever comes through. So just close your eyes again and take in a deep cleansing breath. Fill your lungs to their fullest capacity and then release the breath through your mouth and push all the air out of your body. Take in 3 deep breaths through your nose, imagining white light from the universe coming into your lungs and collecting at your solar plexus. And with all 3 exhalations, picture all the stress, anxiety, and negativity leaving your body. and just begin to relax your entire body and mind. Now begin at your solar plexus and imagine the white light, which I want you to add a little bit of gold into that. So imagine the golden white light moving up and down your body from this point at your solar plexus, which is right in the middle of your midsection, like your tummy or your gut. So imagine the warmth of the energy of this golden white light as it passes through your muscles and organs, and feel the tingling sensations as the light moves down to your toes and up your body to the top of your head. Imagine your entire body being cleansed by this golden white divine light, cleansed from the inside and out. And now ask your guides and teachers to come to you and to help with the purpose of this meditation. Just state your intention clearly and ask God or Spirit or the universe to help you with your meditative journey. And thank them for their help and support. Now keep your eyes closed. But look up at the middle of your forehead, just above the brow. This is the position of your third eye, and it's therefore the gateway to higher conscious realms. So try to keep your eyes focused on this point. The muscles around your eyes may become sore when you first do this, so just don't overdo it. Just know that with practice, this will become easier and easier. As you focus on your third eye, imagine that you're at the start of a tunnel, dimly lit, slanted upward. Imagine your astral body standing up from your physical body and beginning to walk towards and into the tunnel. See the lights and detail on the walls and the texture of the floor. As you walk through the tunnel, imagine yourself moving upwards safely and with ease. Ahead of you, in the distance, you can see a brilliant white light. This is the light of the universal consciousness of God or Spirit. Feel the peace and the calm and the protection and knowledge as it fills your body and mind. With each step closer, you feel more relaxed and at peace. As you approach this brilliant white light, it invites your soul into this realm of enlightenment. And as you pass through, you can see someone a little way off waiting for you. At first, the image may be a little blurry. As you get closer to him or her or them, you begin to see their features more clearly. You can also see the type of clothes that they're wearing, maybe the style of their hair or any jewelry. Sense the warmth of the love that they have for you. Finally, standing right in front of this wonderful soul, you can see or sense them very clearly, and you know that this is your guide. As you embrace, you can feel their energy surrounding you, both spiritually and physically. Make a mental note of this feeling so that you can recognize it when you return and feel your guide during your day-to-day life. The remainder of this meditation is up to you. You can ask their name, ask them what your purpose is in this lifetime, what lessons you're here to learn, or what karma you need to resolve, or even how you know them and what their relationship is to you. Don't be afraid to be creative and interactive, and I'll give you a few moments of silence to work with this. And now it's time to begin to wrap up. Make sure you thank your guide for their gift of service and protection to you. Thank them for coming here during this meditation to meet you and to visit with you. Give them a goodbye hug and then turn and head back for the tunnel. Imagine yourself passing through the brilliant white light and heading back down the tunnel. Imagine yourself walking through the door to your room or the space that you're in and seeing your physical body right where you left it. As your soul steps back inside your physical body, all the visions and sensations and answers that you received merge with your conscious mind and are stored there now. Take in a deep breath. Begin to feel your body. Become more and more aware of your surroundings. And when you're ready, just open your eyes and enter again into the physical world. And as with the previous meditation, if you can jot down any impressions or thoughts or visualizations or sensations that you received, that would be fantastic. I'll give you a little bit of time to do that. And I want to talk a little bit about spirit guides' names. A lot of people get really into the process of figuring out what the names are. And people ask me all the time what their names, the names of their guides are. And it's my personal opinion that you can call them whatever you want to call them. It's not that common that I see a regular old guide with like a name that they're really attached to. Because in the world of spirit or the other dimension where they're coming from, they probably don't go around calling themselves names in common English, you know, the way we perceive of names. Now, that brings me to the idea of calling the archangels, like Archangel Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, and Uriel, and other powerful deities. Their names have been called on so much throughout the history of mankind that it's as if we put a charge to that name and to that energy. I use a Kabbalistic meditation called the Middle Pillar all the time, and you just call on different god names, and those names are just charged with the energy that has been put behind them for centuries. And so that's sort of a different thing when you're calling on a really an ancient god or an archangel or someone, you know, with a name that's always been referred to for ages and ages. But when it comes to your regular spirit guides, you call them what comes to you. Call them whatever suits your fancy. I've had readings where they've told me the names of guides, like a long time ago when I asked for names. And I didn't like the names, and so I kind of tossed that information aside and call them what I want to call them. You know, if you don't like the name Gertrude, your chances are you're not going to feel so great calling on your spirit guide Gertrude. So it's more about your personal preference when it comes to a more everyday guide, not one that, again, has been called upon by the human race for centuries, like a really power-charged mega force or deity. And that also brings me now to the concept of where your guides come from and how you've known them. And that also depends. I have seen people who have had spirit guides from other galaxies. So those are a different kind of energy. There are spirit guides who have been with you in other lifetimes, who have finished the cycle of reincarnation or are now working on another level of development. And then there are different angelic beings and different avatars that you can work with. So for the most part, a spirit guide is different from somebody that you love who has passed on, because that's like somebody who's caught up in the karmic cycle of reincarnation. So they may have died 20 years ago and now they're reincarnated and they're doing something else, but a little portion of their consciousness may be checking in on you. The human spirit cycles in and out of the body. I don't know how many times per minute. It's like this crazy number of times that we're here, we're not here. We're in and out, we're in and out. So where are we when we're not here? We could be in another dimension. We could be traveling we could be with somebody else's energy. So when somebody passes away, like you, they could be reincarnated or they could be on the other side fulfilling their work and doing other work. You don't necessarily want to have them walking by your side for the rest of your earthly incarnation because they've got things to do. But I do know from readings that I've done and from things that I've read and books that I've read and things that I've been taught that people who've passed on, like you do want them to let go and do their thing, and then have them check up on you and check in on you. And you can talk to them and ask them to hook you up with higher guidance or with a team that's dedicated solely to helping you or helping people in their earthly incarnations. And you can have different types of guides for different types of things at different times in your life. Whenever I do a reading for someone, I see at least three guides, one on the left, one on the right, and one at the top of their head, their crown. But that's my particular method. I like to tune into just at least three, and at least three always step forward. But you can have guides for any area of your life that you need to focus on. You can have master guides, teacher guides, as Sonia Choquette calls them, joy guides to help bring you laughter. You can have guides to help you to be a better parent, guides to help you with money, with whatever. You can have specific guides for specific categories in your life. And that's, of course, really fun too. It takes experience to know who's helping with what. And all I can say to that is just practice, practice, practice. I have a guide that's a yellowish sort of guide who helps me with big ideas. Like over the years, I've known what kind of trends were going to happen before they actually happened, which is interesting. It's sort of like a little entrepreneurial guide. It gives me bright ideas. And again, as I said, I have the cooking guide. I have the blue guy. I have a healer guide. And then think there are probably a lot more. I have Aslan when I need him and connecting to other deities. And I always call on the archangels before I do a session in person. You call their names the ideal way to do it is to call them in the ancient Hebrew manner of toning, which is like this. If you're going to call the four, it's Raphael to the east, Mikael to the south. I get confused, so I have to think about it in my head. Gabriel to the west and Oriel to the north. So you face east and you call Raphael. And then south, Mikael. And then west, Gabriel. And then north, Oriel. And that I learned from Sonia Choquette, and also through the exercise of creating a psychic circle of protection in all of the four corners of the room. If you don't have time to face the corners and figure it all out, you can just tone their names. And after you tone these names or intone these names like 10 times, maybe you feel a shift in the room. You can feel the space. They come. There's a presence there. It's really powerful. And you can also sense, I've seen it with students. I have one particular student who's the angel healer of Slovenia. Her name is Marietka Novak. And I didn't know who she was when we first started working together, but I checked in to see what guides and energies were around her, and I saw the most beautiful colors. I mean, pinks and blues and yellows and glorious, like violets and golds, and it was just magnificent. And I told her, and she laughed, and she said, "Do you know what I do and who I am?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, we're done. Check out my website." And I did, and those colors are on her website, and that's what she's all about. So those energies walk with her as she calls on them, and she uses them, she works with them. And it's magnificent. So other healers and readers and even your psychic friends that you're practicing with will see what you're tuning into. And I do recommend that you bring in some friends and close confidants when you're doing this, because it makes it so much more fun to have somebody to validate this with and to talk to about it. So, you know, like-minded people definitely help you to grow and help you to accelerate the process. And I'm trying to think of anything else that I've forgotten in here. It's taken me about 10 years to get to a place where I feel really good with the guides. And I hope you're not groaning like, oh God, it's going to take me that long. But I'm kind of a special case. I think I really, 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 really need to believe, like to get proof. And I know it's silly. That's just how I am, though. And I in every reading that I've done now, they've come through and they're here. And so now I know. So maybe it's been like 8 years. I shouldn't say 10 years, but more like eight. I was being dramatic there. But it took me a long time to get to feel like, okay, you're here. And as I said before, forever, I was saying, prefacing every request with, well, if you really exist, show me this or show me that or help me with this or help me with that. So one of my favorite stories is about shopping. I really love to shop. I love to bargain shop. It's really fun for me. And it was sort of a pastime, like something I would do, a hobby. And after my son was born, I realized that I didn't really have time for that hobby anymore. And maybe I should be outside playing with him and not, of course, not dragging him. Anyone who has a little toddler boy knows you cannot drag them to shop with you. It's excruciating for them and awful. So I decided to limit my shopping to 4 times a year. So spring, summer, fall, winter. And I know it's silly, but that's how I keep it in check and I categorize it and everything. So when I do like my spring shop or my summer shop, again, like I'm mad into bargains. I just love that. I want to find everything within a certain period of time. So I'm not like shopping for spring for a month or dragging it out. So the whole springtime I'm doing spring shopping because I've been known to do that kind of thing in the past, like I said, just always on the lookout to shop. So I'm not into that anymore. So I started calling my guides. I've been calling my guides to help me find bargains. And you would not believe the things that I have found. Like we have a lot of great places to shop here in LA for bargains and unique vintage shops and thrift stores and things. And I found dresses. I have a dress in my closet with I mean, this is, I haven't worn it yet because I got pregnant and then it didn't fit, but it was $400, brand new price tag from, I think it was like Saks or Neiman's, $400. I scored it for $8. And that was a guide because I just go in there and I just think, okay, help me find bargains, help me find things. And I got this little inkling, like you didn't look through that dress rack enough, like go back. And I went back and I found this gorgeous dress that I hope to wear at some point before I have to give it back to the Goodwill recycle. But I went in for this whole, you know, I want to get everything on the list. And I asked my guide, I was really pushing it, like, help me find everything on this list this time, please, so I can just be done with this. And I hope you're not thinking me too shallow, but it's fun. I like clothes and all that anyway. So I went in and I had it all and I'm like thinking like, help me, come on, help me. You get in that mode, like, okay, you'll find it. You're in sync. If you use your guides to help you with writing or creative projects or art or math or anything, you'll get in this zone. So I get in the zone and I'm finding like everything on the list, like great stuff, great deals, really cool, unique, wonderful things. And I said, thank you to my guides. I was so thrilled and so happy. I said, thank you. And on the radio came this old, I think it's a 70s or 80s song. I don't know what the name of it is, but the whole song goes, I love you. And I just laughed out loud, like over and over. It was so sweet. And he knew that was a sign. And I just went with it and trusted it. And you do want to do that. You want to just surrender and trust. Even if your requests are potentially, you know, somewhat shallow, like help me find everything on my shopping list so I can be outside with my son more or feel like I've got everything I need in my closet and don't even have to worry about clothes for another 3 months. That's my personal thing. But whatever you need that help with, I mean, definitely in cases of dire emergency, of medical help, of asking your guides, you can ask your guides to guide you to the right healer, to the right professional. You can ask your guides to connect through your hands, if it's a healer guide, and send healing energy to your loved ones, to your friends, to your pets. And they will. You just want to make sure you disconnect afterwards. But all you have to do with that is just state the intention. Please send healing energy through me. I healed my husband of a cold, of different colds and things like that over the years with the help of the healing guides. And then you just step back and you let them do their work. Whatever you need help with, from the most serious to the most ridiculous, you can have it. It's at your fingertips. So just believe, start asking, and start looking for the signs. Work with your clairvoyance and your clairaudience, and you're only going to get better and better and better at it. So have fun with it and enjoy it. And if you have any questions or you want more information, please check out my website. It's www.krishanti.com. Thank you so much, and talk to you later. Bye.